Friends, the psalmist says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Please be seated. Friends, as we gather in this solemn week of mourning for a faithful monarch, the world has stopped, in a sense, to reflect on big issues of faith and faithfulness and duty and honour, values that our late Queen Elizabeth often said were deeply rooted in her own personal allegiance to our heavenly King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is him we worship today in our first hymn, "O Worship the King." Let's join in singing it together. Please be seated. Well, a warm welcome to you this morning. Thank you for joining us here at Scott's Church. It's great to see a number of visitors with us today, including some Queensland ones. Lovely to have you here. If you are new today, please drop us your details on the introduction card. You can either scan the QR code and do it that way, or just drop it with Michael at the door as you leave. And we would be very pleased if you would take a copy of our church magazine as you go as well, if you can find one. They're getting a little bit thin on the ground, spread around the pews there. Next time we're going to print a few more, I think. Our organ concert series continues today at 5 p.m. and it's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. as well. And we do welcome you to come along and take advantage of the wonderful opportunity to hear some great music. Now, a note for our formal members. The election of three new elders is taking place. The election process finishes today with ballot papers available at either door. So if you are a communicant member of Scots, please take the opportunity to vote. Great news for those who love our sausage sizzle. It's on again this Wednesday, the 21st, from 11:30 to 2 p.m. out on Collins Street. The sausage sandwiches are just fantastic. I recommend them. But better still, this month we're raising some funds for Sports Chaplaincy Australia. Now, it is a bit of a big sporting week, though it lost some of its lustre last night, for those of us who are Collingwood supporters. But Sports Chaplaincy Australia does great work among the sporting community, and so the funds we raise will go to assist them. Just finally, do join us for morning tea afterwards over on the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building behind me, or if you have to leave in a rush, grab a coffee at the back as you leave. We'll get you your caffeine fix either way. So you're very welcome. We're going to sing again, Bring to the Lord a Glad New Song. Please be seated. We're going to join in prayer now. I'd invite you to join in. And at the conclusion of my prayer, we'll be saying the Lord's Prayer together, which you can find in our order of service. First, let's pray. Lord God, Father of all mankind, as we gather this morning, our hearts are still heavy at the loss of Elizabeth, our Queen, who served you and served us with such distinction across the majority of all of our lives. Thank you for her quiet faith in the Lord Jesus, for the humility and integrity of purpose that flowed from that faith, for her warmth, her humour, her dignity and grace. Father, we pray that Charles, as her successor, might rule with similar wisdom, likewise honouring the Lord Jesus, not just in word, but in character and in deed. Father, we thank you today for the model set for us in the way Jesus resolutely fixed his eyes on the glory set before him of the cross, that as he gave his life for the sake of his people, he modelled sacrificial service and love, to be raised again with the glory he had before the world was formed. Father, we pray that at times when the world is set against us as your people, that you would keep us resolute and strong. Not that you would take us out of the world, but that you would keep us safe from the trials and temptations of the evil one. Father, as we turn to your word this morning, we will be reminded that in his final prayer for us, our Lord Jesus prayed that we as your church might be united in love, that in a world of schism, in a world of individualism, in a world torn apart by selfishness and mistrust, that our unity might give evidence to the world around us of a deeper truth. Father, we renew that prayer this morning as we pray that you would grow us together in love, forgiving us in your everlasting mercy for those times we have failed. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With gladness and come before his presence with
During the next hymn, our stewards will be collecting the offering. But if you're visiting today, please feel free to just be our guest and pass the plate right by. The hymn is, Lord, speak to me that I may speak. You'll find it in the order of service.
Please be seated. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Loving, gracious Lord Jesus Christ, we praise and thank you for your presence with us as we praise and worship you and give thanks for the great things you have done for us. United by your Spirit, we bring our praise before you and give thanks that Jesus has taught us to pray and prayed for us. Help us to understand the glorious truth of your holy word and the amazing grace of Jesus, our Lord and God. Prince of Peace, as the people of the United Kingdom and the world mourn the death of Queen Elizabeth II, we continue to pray for your strength, comfort, peace, and wisdom to King Charles III and the Queen Consort, Camilla, the royal family, the leaders and people of the United Kingdom, the Commonwealth, and those so dear to the late Queen's heart. Ruler of every nation, Jesus Christ, we praise and thank you for the life of Queen Elizabeth II, whose faithful obedience to her calling and whose leadership marked but sacrificial service have inspired generations of her people. May the heavenly grace which sustained her comfort all who mourn for her death, and may she rest in peace. Loving praises God, we pray for your church on earth and Scots Church. Lord of the church, we thank you that Jesus prayed that we might be one with you and with each other. We pray for your wisdom, courage, guidance for Scots elders as they are working toward a vision of refreshing ministry to our next generations, including young families, teenagers, and young adults, that you would bless and strengthen them as they seek a part-time family ministry director and a full-time next generations youth and young adults director. We pray the Lord would raise up the next generation of growth at Scots and those to lead them. Lord, let your will be done, we pray. Loving God, yes, we acknowledge that change is painful and challenging. Please give us the courage to embrace that change, to meet what lies ahead. Draw us into a solid relationship with you, loving you and loving one another. Give us the grace to change and lead us into a future of your great plan and will. We thank Jesus, who never changes, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray for those experiencing ill health in our church community and their loved ones, and those who mourn for their beloved family. Especially, we remember Ronnie Chung, who mourned for his beloved mother, who passed away in Hong Kong. We continue, Lord, to pray that you would embrace, that you would strengthen him and his beloved family, either here in Australia or in Hong Kong. May your comfort and peace and strength be upon Ronnie and his beloved family. We remember the Castles family, the Turnbull-Smith family, Ray Anstey, Yvonne Sullivan, Nancy and Stuart Banks, Matthew Dench and his beloved family. May their love and trust in Jesus grow stronger every day. And thank you for those who prayed for my family and I during our illness due to COVID. And thank you for your grace and healing power. And thank you for the support of Reverend Phil and Lewis Campbell and Reverend Phil Court, who prayed for us and led the pastoral prayer during my absence. May God bless every one of them and your church here at Scots. And now we ask that you receive our offerings and tithes and continue to supply all our needs. May your peace be in our hearts and your joy be in our souls. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who prayed and still prays for us. Amen.
The first reading today is from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 19. When Jesus had finished speaking to his disciples, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now that they know everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. And they received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be as one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. So ends the first lesson. Second reading is from John 17, verses 20 to 26. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. and I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love me, them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen.
Oh, please join me in prayer. Father, as we turn to this part of your word this morning, we pray that you would warm our hearts as we come to understand the things that our Lord Jesus had on his heart for us. We ask this for his glory and in his name. Amen. It is heartwarming, isn't it, when you hear stories of dying wishes fulfilled. You might have teared up a little bit if you saw this one on TV recently. New South Wales police who made 4-year-old Zoe from Sydney an honorary constable for the day. She so desperately wanted to be a policewoman when she grows up, but she's suffering tragically from brain cancer. So a team of police arrived at a house with a junior police uniform and whipped her and her mum off in the police car and later even a helicopter to fulfill her dying wish. Maybe in your own case you've got a bucket list, a list of things you want to do and see before you kick the bucket. Parachute jump maybe, although I'd suggest you keep that right till the very end of the list just in case. But the trip to Uluru, eating at that fine restaurant, all those things you've kind of always wanted that will let you die perhaps satisfied. I wonder, turning things a little more serious, what you would be praying for if you knew your days were numbered. At a time like this, with the passing of the Queen, of course, there's been virtually 24-hour media coverage where they love to fill the airtime with experts who all apparently have known the Queen so very well and speak so earnestly of what she said behind closed doors. And one thing I noticed specifically through the week was the amount of comment around William and Harry walking together in the street. See, we don't really know how bad things between them are, do we? Maybe it's 90% media beat up and 10% truth. But one thing that experts are saying, and even Oprah Winfrey from afar, is that this would have been the Queen's greatest dying wish, to see the family united. Plus, I guess, finding a happy place for the corgis. But seriously, a family rift, if it's as bad as the media paints it, it's a terrible sadness, isn't it? And not only that, it brings the reputation of the whole royal family down. Now, this morning, as we draw near the end of the story we have been following here at Scott's through John's Gospel, we're looking at one of the final prayers of Jesus as he knows his hour has come. He's about to be arrested and tried and crucified. He knows that he is about to die in the most horrific of circumstances, and so he prays. This is a prayer that he prays with a heavy heart. It's a prayer, you'll notice, first of all, for God's glory in verses 1 to 5. It's a prayer then for his disciples, the ones the Father gave him, verses 6 to 19, who he's taught and trained and now is leaving behind. And finally, verses 20 to 26, it is a prayer, literally, for us. I'm not kidding, this is a prayer for you and me as Jesus looks ahead and prays explicitly for those of us who one day are going to believe on him because of the words of his disciples. Believers exactly like us. And so I will urge you specifically, especially when we get to that section, to pay special attention, because most especially it is a prayer for unity between his followers. That people like you and me, people like you and the people sitting beside you and behind you and around you, will actually love one another in a way that truly makes us one. First, though, as we rewind to the beginning, you'll notice, as I mentioned, that in verse 1, Jesus is keenly aware that his hour has come, which is a phrase that has recurred through John's gospel like a clock ticking down that's attached to a bomb. And so Jesus prays because the hour has come. It's a prayer, as I said, first of all, for God's glory, which in absolutely basic terms means that God will be magnified rather than diminished through what's about to happen. Now, that is a big ask when you think about it, if you have any sense of what's going to unfold, that God's reputation will somehow be enhanced as this troublemaking rabbi is arrested and beaten and publicly humiliated in the worst possible way. And yet we'll see that every move from here on is intentional. There's nothing unexpected. This is Jesus doing the work that God has given him to do. So this is his prayer. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Which ultimately is a prayer that goes a step beyond the cross to what follows. Because fundamentally, Jesus says, God has given him authority over matters of life and death. That somehow in the next 96 hours, the secrets of life and death and eternal life are going to be laid bare in a way never before seen, which will ultimately be the way all the betrayal and the humiliation and the spit and the whipping and the nails and the spear, how all those things are going to be flipped aside to reveal God's glory. Now that at this point is the top of the wish list for Jesus. That is his first prayer. Ultimately, it's a prayer that finally, after traveling undercover for so long, after demonstrating and explaining again to his disciples that he has come from above, it's time for that to be plainly seen. That's his prayer. Now, please don't think poorly of me, but does anybody watch The Masked Singer? It's one of those shows I think is in the category that it's so bad that it's almost good. To be honest, I've never watched an episode all the way through, but the one thing I can't look away from is the big reveal. You know, they've got these singers in their crazy masks, like a huge box of popcorn on their head. You've got to guess who they are. until the moment where the votes come in and they have to unmask themselves. And you know, Screechy Husey, he's full of the most outrageous guesses. It's going to be Mariah Carey, or it's going to be Adele. It ends up being Mark Philippoussis. Imagine, though, an unmasking like that that leaves you astounded rather than let down. In 2019, masked singer South Korea actually nailed it when they had Ryan Reynolds as the unicorn. Who would have thought? But what about even bigger than that? What Jesus prays is that God will finally bring about the great reveal, the great unmasking of him. So he will finally be seen as he is in all the glory that he left behind in the beginning. Remember chapter 1, it seems a long time ago now. But we saw in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. Incognito. Now, finally, to be revealed. Now again, that's the essence of his glory prayer. And now, Father, verse 5, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. Let me be seen as I really am through my death and resurrection. Now you'll notice he prays the same near the end of the prayer, like bookends in a sense. Father, he says, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. That finally it's all going to be clear that we will see him as he really is. The final day that followers of Jesus long for. Now, in the second phase of his prayer, Jesus prays earnestly and very specifically for the 11 he's leaving behind. And look, in spite of all the confident glory language, as I was looking at these words the other day, it dawned on me how sad Jesus sounds as he really is looking down the barrel of his own death and he's going to the Father. And not only a traumatic prospect for himself, but that he's leaving behind his closest friends to fend for themselves in such a hostile environment. And so he's praying desperately that his Father will watch over them. First, that they will be preserved in proclaiming the word, that they will be kept in his name and not drawn away by the evil one like Judas was. It's a prayer that those who have kept his word and believed will be kept by God and keep believing. Here's how it goes, verses 6 to 8. I've manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I've given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. As we saw last week, these 11 who have been with him from the start are at the point where now they know everything that they need to know. Now they're persuaded, as we saw last week in chapter 16, persuaded that Jesus really has come from the Father. They have received the word, they've believed the word, and so he says they know the truth, which is why, says Jesus, I'm praying especially for them. And not at this point for everyone else. This is the little flock that he's been shepherding. These are the sheep that he's kept and guarded, not one of them lost, except, he says, the son of destruction, Judas, according to plan. And his prayer is that his father would guard them now and keep them as he goes. More than that, that he'll keep them united, verse 11. That they may be one, he says, even as we are one. That's the prayer. Give them unity, give them joy, even as the world hates them, verse 13. And finally, a prayer that the Father will keep them safe from the evil one, in verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then at last, in verses 17 to 19, a prayer in a sense of commissioning. I've mentioned this a few times in the last few weeks for our regulars, that we've got two distinct words that we traditionally use to describe these guys. They're quite famous, aren't they? You might think the two words mean the same thing, but they actually don't. And this is the point where it changes. They started out as the 12 disciples. You've heard of them. Which means learners. Now here's the point where that changes. And they become the 11 apostles, which means literally sent ones, delegates. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, and there the root word behind that is apostello, so I have sent them into the world. And now for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. Sent into the world, and now literally as apostles, as sent ones, as ambassadors of Jesus. Truth tellers, as they go out with the true word of the gospel into an often hostile world that they were drawn out from. In the world, but no longer of the world. Set apart, sanctified, like Jesus is. Now, that is his prayer for his closest friends, that God will keep them faithful and strong and true, no matter what hard times lie ahead. That they will be united, that they'll be joyful in hardship, that they would be faithful in the truth. Which, as we'll see next week, still leaves them lots of scope for improvement from this point. But this is a powerful prayer. Now, as I said, the chapter falls into three parts. The prayer falls into three main sections. And we're coming now to section three, which is a prayer finally for you and me. Now, I don't know about you, but I reckon it's pretty cool that Jesus actually envisaged that this little crew of 11 apostles would actually spread the word to a point where there would be a long line of people forward through the centuries who would believe through their words, who would actually be listening to these very words on a Sunday morning 2,000 years later in a place called Melbourne. It is astonishing. I wonder if you have any of that same confidence about the next generation hearing the message. It's especially encouraging that Jesus actually prays for us. So follow his words from verse 20. He's not praying just for the 11. See what he says. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And then look at the substance of his prayer. See, here I think he really is praying for a miracle. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you've given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Now, friends, you can't escape the fact that Jesus, perhaps like the Queen in her final hopes and dreams for her family, that Jesus desperately desires that most elusive of all things, and that is that his people, you and me, would be known for our astonishing unity, the way we love each other, that we may be one just as Jesus and his Father are one, so that the world may believe the Father sent me. I wonder, has it occurred to you that getting on with one another isn't something that comes naturally to us humans? When you see family units fall apart, you might have experienced that. While it's always tragic, it's never surprising, is it? Even with royals. I mean, why would you expect two high-profile brothers to get on when one of them is destined for greatness and the other one's just the spare? Why would you expect Megan's hunger for attention and approval to be satisfied by the second runner when the position comes at such high price? Humans, by their very nature, are in turns ambitious and shy and defensive and selfish and aggressive. In relationships, we'll tend to be either like a rhino full speed ahead and potentially crushing, or a porcupine, prickly and unapproachable. When people are involved, any kind of unity takes a miracle. And yet that is what Jesus prays for us. And friends, that is what we're called to. And in spite of the disappointments, and in spite of the fact that it doesn't come naturally, it is what we most need. It's one of the great ironies of the rise of social media. We're connected to other people like never before. But at the same time, there is an epidemic of loneliness like never before. We have never been so detached, so apart, so depressed as we constantly compare ourselves and yet from a distance, so desperate for real human connection. We're living in a world where the idea of a common truth has been almost dissolved by the idea that everyone's own truth is true for them. So we all retreat to our own little self-defined identity and group ourselves into smaller and smaller subsets until in the end even they fail to hold us together. And it is so desperately, desperately sad, especially when you see fractures in a church. And so Jesus prays for our unity, as if he knows in advance, as those gathered by his gospel, that we would be united in his truth. A unity that was astonishingly expressed in the first century church as a group that brought together Jews and Gentiles over a vast racial divide as one. brought together slaves and free as if they were brothers and sisters, as one. Astonishing. That brought together this thing called the church, where people freely shared their possessions when they saw need. That they shared a common table. No one was hungry. Everyone was welcome. That they honestly shared their lives and their joys and their burdens, rejoicing with those who rejoiced, grieving with those who grieved. All in one faith, one spirit, which remains our call today. Which is why maybe you see you shouldn't just head for that back door as quickly as you can after the service. And you shouldn't be satisfied that you don't even know the name of that person who's been sitting in front of you for the last 20 years. Friends, how can we truly love one another in unity if we don't even start by knowing one another? And yet, of course, it's so much easier not to, isn't it? And we shouldn't be satisfied to let our old feuds over minor things define our future relationships. Instead, we should join in the prayer of Jesus that we would be one in a way that brings glory to God. Friends, that is the prayer of Jesus. That is his last wish, his great desire as he faces the cross. I have made known to them your name, he says in verse 26, and I will continue to make it known that the love by which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. His work is almost done. He's revealed the Father. Now by his Spirit and his Word, it's a prayer for unity and love, for a gospel message that will resonate through the world and through the ages, down the generations. It's a prayer for people like us who will live it out. It's a prayer that in many ways the Father has wonderfully answered through the years. And yet, in other ways, is still working its way out as we work out in each generation how to love one another better. So, friends, I want to call on you this morning to commit to being part of that great prayer, being part of the answer to the prayer as the Father continues to work among us as a church. We're going to close by saying the words of the Apostles' Creed together that reflect that shared faith through the generations, and particularly with emphasis this morning on the words about that holy Catholic Church. The word Catholic means universal. The communion of saints, our unity together. So those words are in bold near the end. Let's stand and join in the creed together. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing. We're going to close by singing the hymn, Jesus Shall Reign.
Thank you.
Just a couple of reminders before we close this morning. Scott City, our contemporary 5 p.m. service, will be on this afternoon as usual in the hall opposite on my right. Please feel very free to join us. And morning tea, well, it's afternoon now, it's 12:03, so it's just light refreshments will be served in the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building behind me. Please stay around and join us if you can and get to know some people who you may not have met before. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us forevermore. Amen.